Welcome to the DeBruce Foundation's Empowering Careers podcast, where we explore insights and strategies to building empowered careers. Today, I am absolutely thrilled to introduce you to our guest, Jonathan Javier. He is the founder of Wonsulting, and he is all about helping the underdog get and land that career. So we're thrilled to have him with us today. Welcome, Jonathan.
So happy to be here. Thank you so much.
For those of you who've not yet ever met Jonathan, I can just tell you he's always a breath of fresh air, and he is going to bring so many amazing insights to you today. Each time he and I get together, it is a joyful, enthusiastic conversation, and we're hoping today that it helps any and all of you who might be choosing or changing careers. So Jonathan, let's just start with you telling us a little bit about yourself, and make sure that you mention your top three agilities.
Oh, yes, of course. So background about me, when I was actually a student and job searching, I remember being like many job seekers out there, applying to hundreds of jobs, getting rejected by most of them, and thinking to myself that it was because of my background, my non-traditional background. I didn't go to a target school. I went to UC Riverside. I didn't necessarily have connections at these big name companies. But then what I realized is the power of networking. And also, of course, making a great resume. So I used LinkedIn to actually land my first job at Snapchat. So I worked at Snapchat, and then I transitioned to Google for about 2 years using LinkedIn. And then also, lastly, at Cisco, where I was there for about a year. After doing that, I found myself thinking to myself, well, is my dream to work in the tech industry, or is my dream to help other people achieve their dream jobs? And that's when I started Wonsulting in 2019, where our mission is to turn underdogs into winners. So helping those who come from very similar backgrounds, very non-traditional, without any connections, to break into their dream industries. And so that started as a side hustle, got into that full time after actually getting affected by COVID layoffs at Cisco, and have now been doing that for the past 6 years. So I have Wonsulting as the business. And then also I do the content creation, where I make basically career TikToks and Instagram reels and LinkedIn posts about how you can make those career transitions, as well as how to break into your dream career. I have now about 2-3 million followers, and they're all those who come from those very non-traditional underdog backgrounds. And you also asked me about my three agilities, right?
Yeah.
Ooh, my three agilities. Okay. So, and could you define, Leanne, again, what the agilities again? Like, what are some examples?
Yes. Yeah, sure.
I want to make sure I get the right answer.
No, yes. I love it. No, the agilities are work activities that are used in every single job in the economy. And
yes.
And they're the combination of what you like to do and what you do well. And we at the DeBruce Foundation have the Agile Work Profiler, you know, that you can yes. take, and you can get your ranked 10. And that's at no cost, because like you, we have a passion for helping people make these informed career decisions and, you know, helping anybody who feels like they're the underdog have confidence that, no, there are things that you can do that people will pay you to do. You have value in the career marketplace. So it's 100%. Developing others, it's innovating, it's selling and communicating, it's serving and caring. I think when you and I have talked previously, I think innovating is one of your top three agilities, yes. which makes complete sense, right? You were seeing a challenge and then thinking about, well, I could help other people who are in the same situation as I am. And most certainly, developing others, I think, is one of your top agilities, because you're always thinking about how to teach someone else, how to coach someone else. I mean, it's one of the things that I love most about the resources that you are able to offer at Wonsulting is you're thinking about the ways to serve up content that matters when someone yes. is kind of stuck, either stuck on, you know, the rung of their career ladder, or, you know, just not knowing how to pivot into something new because their opportunity, what they thought might have been their vision and what they thought they might have been doing in their career, has gone away. And you think about, like, gosh, what are the tips that they need to really jump in? And you want to develop them and coach them. So I definitely hear innovating and developing others. And a lot of times I hear you in the selling and communicating, right? Just like you did.
Yes.
Why is OneSulting important? Why did you start that? And you can launch right into what you think is important with that. So those are three of your agilities that I hear you saying you use. As I say those, do those ring true for you?
100%. And I think the innovation aspect comes from just trying to solve a problem that not many people have been able to solve, right? Because generally, the job search in this case is you traditionally will apply to a job and then you'll wait to see if you get an interview, right? But coming from a very non-traditional background where you don't have many connections, you have to think to yourself, okay, like, sure, I could go apply to this job and wait. But if 100 other applicants are applying too, how am I going to stand out? Sure, I have qualified experience. Sure, I have transferable experience, but they're probably only hiring one person. So that innovative side for me, that's where it comes from, because I kept applying to those jobs and didn't hear any callbacks from any of those. And so taking that innovation and then taking it to serving and teaching others is because of that innovation. So when others weren't able to figure out, like, oh, I should network, I should make my resume like qualified for, should make sure I have all the skills and qualifications. I then made sure to give the right information to folks, because many people don't have that privilege of having that information, especially going to a smaller school, especially having someone like, for example, my mom was a nurse, my dad didn't work, so I never had that information from a business perspective of how to job search. So all of those different skills combined together have allowed me to help even more underdogs turn into winners.
Absolutely. We talk about that in terms of two ingredients being really important to having an empowered career. One of them being that career literacy, which is, do you have the job search skills? Do you know what you do well and that confidence to go after jobs in the marketplace and to know how to talk about yourself and present yourself and everything from, online venues to in-person venues? That career literacy piece is really, really important, and those skills, as well as what you mentioned. You said, I was an underdog because I didn't have a network. And that is 100% true. We see that across the US economy, that it's the combination of both the career literacy and that strength of network that's really important to help propel you. So where you didn't maybe have that as much, how have you been able to like strengthen your network or build that in order to advance your career journey? What have you learned about that, Jonathan?
Networking is all about finding a commonality between you and the other person. I think that's the most important and the most authentic way to network. What typically people will do before is that they'll just go network with people and they'll say, first conversation with you, Leanne, for example, let's say you worked at Facebook, whatever it is. I'd say, hey, Leanne, give me a referral. And it's just very transactional. But when you look at networking, you should say to yourself, okay, how can I help this other person? And how can we become real connections and potentially even friends, right? So it's not as transactional as it seems. And you can do that by finding different commonalities. Like, for example, we both love helping career changers and job seekers. It's something that we relate to. Something that we talk about is we love the Kansas City Chiefs, right? I talked
That's
about
right.
how I had a different players from the team, Patrick Mahomes, on my fantasy team, right? So it doesn't necessarily have to just be about work, 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 work. It could be about other things that you both relate to. Another example is like, I love connecting and networking with folks who are founders who also come from those very non-traditional underdog backgrounds where they had no connections. And then same thing when I was trying to break into the tech industry, I would try to find people who were Filipino, because Filipinos sometimes struggle to break into their respective industry. And so I knew that they understood my own story and they had a very similar story that I could basically replicate to have the same or similar success as them. So yes, networking comes very authentically. And how you do that is not necessarily just about work, but find things that you both enjoy outside of it. And one question I love to ask people, instead of asking people what they do for work, I instead ask them, what's an exciting project you're working on? Because that exciting project that they're working on might not be about work. It might be about something else that you are also passionate and excited about. And that could get you the networking juices flowing.
That is excellent advice, and it is something that's just a little bit of a twist in that networking zone to ask them about that. I sometimes ask a question that's like, "What's the next big thing that you are doing, or
Oh,
that
I
you
love
have
that.
on your, that you have on your whiteboard that you want to make a reality?" And that drives me back to, you and I met by way of our network too, right? Patty Drobovolsky of Up Your
Yes.
Creative Genius, who also shares this passion for helping people, go from their current reality to their desired reality. And she introduced us, and she did. She introduced because she knew your passion for the work and the passion that we at the DeBruce Foundation have for this work. And so, like, yeah. So that network, just how it multiplies is so important. But asking key questions that will really drive towards where you find the intersections of your common places that you'd like to make a difference can really lead to these kinds of collaborative opportunities, or somebody even pointing you to someone else. Oh, you should have this person in your network, right? That's been some of the richest experiences that I have had. I'm thinking about some of our audience members who may be job seekers themselves, or maybe they're folks who are helping others navigate careers and career choices. Jonathan, you are on the cutting edge of the trends that are happening right now in terms of the hiring market. So, what do you think career seekers need to know right now in terms of those trends in the hiring market?
Yes, the job market. Oh, so the job market and hiring trends have definitely been shifting, especially with the use of AI. I definitely think so. And
Oh,
so,
like we're all wondering, like, how is this working? And it's changing so quickly. I think as soon as you maybe get something figured out, maybe that's not true then the next day. Yeah. Talk to us. What should we know about that?
yes, so I think the what's happening right now is there's a lot of activity of people of AI, because AI is a big thing that's been happening in the past 1 to 2 years. And so there's this notion and these different words a lot of people are saying is that like AI is going to take people's jobs. AI is like filtering my resume. AI is taking my resume and auto-rejecting it. I personally believe that AI won't necessarily take people's jobs. It will instead make them superhuman. And that's a key word, superhumans. If you know how to use AI for your own job, it will allow you to free up more time to then do other things that are more impactful and that get you more excited, right? And so what I encourage everybody to do is like even for their red, like for our, for example, we have a consulting AI, which is our tool that uses AI to build your resumes, your cover letters, etc. I encourage job seekers to utilize AI for their job search. Use it to create your resume. Use it to use your cover letter. Use it to this. But remember that it only gets you to the 80% mark, and then you have to get it edited by someone. So that's from the job seeker side. Now, from the employer side, from the hiring side, if a job seeker should not think that AI is their basically, the jobs that they're applying to, they're getting rejected by AI, right? And there's this notion again that like ATS is auto-rejecting your resume. It doesn't. Your resume always gets looked at by a recruiter. We should always know that. And but your resume might get filtered based on your experiences and based on what they're looking for. So always remember that for job seekers out there, your resume is not getting rejected by an AT auto-rejected by an ATS. Rather, your resume is getting read by a human being. And so when you're going into the hiring market, make sure to know that. Secondly, there are 2 to 3x more applicants on job postings nowadays, considering that unemployment is considerably high. There's a lot of layoffs occurring. So then comes the question of, well, how do I stand out in this job market? Biggest thing, of course, make sure your resume is qualified, make sure you fit at least 80% of the job description. But it turns back to that networking aspect. You need to network with folks who have hiring decision making or have a say in the hiring process. How I identify this is there's four tiers. There's a tier four, which is you just apply to a job, right? Everybody does that. Maybe you'll get 500 candidates, 500 applicants who apply to a job. Let's say an analyst at Tesla, just making it up. Then you have tier three, which is a referral. And this is a random referral. Example, someone who is a software engineer refers you for that analyst role at Tesla. Maybe 20 people get a referral. There's two other tiers that people don't talk about and don't know about. Tier two, which is a hiring team member, someone who's on the actual team who recommends you for the role. Let's say it's a fellow analyst on that Tesla team. Maybe five people get that. They recommend them to the hiring manager. And then tier one is the actual hiring manager, which is someone who is the one who's gonna be your manager, who's hiring for the role, recommends you for it. How many people are recruiting for the analyst at Tesla? Maybe one to two. But people who got recommended by the hiring managers, maybe two to three. So who do you think gets the interview and who gets the offer? It's probably the one who gets recommended by the tier one hiring manager. So why I'm saying this is because it's important that yes, your resume gets you the interview, right? But remember, the resume is only one part of the job search. You have to have that networking aspect as well that will help you bring you over the edge. And that's what I've been seeing a lot of our clients and a lot of candidates who have been able to go from applying to interview to offer in less than 90 days.
Okay, Jonathan. Yeah, because if I'm a job seeker and you've just told me those four tiers, I'm now wondering, how do I get myself out of tier four but into three? And how do I get from three to two? And how do I get from two to one? What are steps that I could use, or what are the kinds of tools that I could employ in order to try to get myself, across all four of those tiers and position myself really?
Of course. Well, first, people should take your agilities test to
Well,
identify those skills. They took,
absolutely. And it's
yes.
free, so you can totally use it at no cost to you. Yes.
100%. I would first take the test, make sure you identify what those specific skills are to then see what job you should be applying to. That is so important. The
And how to talk
mistake.
about yourself in that cover letter, in that resume, what to put on your LinkedIn profile. So if they're cross-referencing that, it looks like you are really qualified to do this. You know how to do these work activities. And by the way, you like to do them.
Exactly, 100%. So you first need to identify what job you actually qualify for and that you're interested in. Then you have to make sure your resume is good and make sure you have the skills, make sure you have the experiences, relevant experiences. Like we have tools that help you with that. We have a resume AI by OneSulting tool that helps you with that, right? So that's like the foundation. I call it the foundation. So utilize both of those tools to set the foundation for yourself. After doing that, then you find the hiring managers and hiring team members for the roles. How you do this is it's actually very simple. You do a Boolean search. And so if anybody doesn't know what a Boolean search is, it's basically on LinkedIn. You can search for folks who are hiring specifically for the role you're interested in. All you have to do is just search, for example, data analyst, and then put hiring at the end, and then filter to your location, to wherever it is. What I'd recommend is be very broad. First do data analyst, and then just do hiring, and you'll find every hiring manager hiring for a role. Everybody in seconds. Then what you can do is if you want to reach out to them, you can reach out to them, or you can go to posts instead on LinkedIn and you can find everybody else who's hiring for that data analyst role. And then you put your location. Oh, I want to be in Kansas City. I want to be in Los Angeles or Vancouver, whatever it is, you can do that. Then you reach out to them. And so the question then comes, well, Jonathan, isn't everybody reaching out to them? The answer is, if you actually think about it, most people will not send personalized invites. I probably have thousands of, I think I have thousands of connection requests. Nobody sends a personalized invite. But imagine you being the one person who actually sends a personalized invite or message to that hiring manager or hiring team member. The
Yes.
structure of how you should ask them or how you reach out to them is so simple. You just say, "Hi, Leanne. Hope you're well. I saw you're hiring for this role. My skills and qualifications in this make me a good fit. Would love to connect and discuss." That's it. Very simple, straight to the point if you know they're hiring. Because again, you don't want to BS them. You want to just be straight to the point. You know they're hiring. You want to show your skills and qualifications. And then if they respond, you basically would get a potential interview. And so that's what I'd recommend to people to find those tier two and tier one folks. And again, I first talked about the foundation. Because you need the foundation first to reach out. If you don't have any of that, the recruiter or hiring manager is going to ask you, well, can I see your resume? What you're interested in? And if it doesn't relate to what they're hiring for, they're not going to have that conversation.
Yeah, and you don't want to be behind the curveball on that one. You want to be out ahead of that. You want to have that prepared and ready to go. So as soon as you make that connection, somebody clicks in and says, "Oh, and this person is prepared. They sent me a resume right away. They sent me a cover letter, and you were able to really, as you said, this is about developing the relationship too, right? And this is about developing the network. And even if you don't get that job, you've actually enhanced your network, right? You've diversified and deepened your network just by doing that personal contact with them and being very specific about what it is. I know that our listeners are probably just as excited or more than I am about those very specific tactics and strategies that you shared, Jonathan. So I love how you give career advice to others in that that level of specificity. Those are action steps that I can literally go do today. So thank you for sharing that with us. When you think about your own career journey, is there any advice that you have just felt like this was just the best career advice I ever got, or this is exceptional career advice? Anything like that really for you has made a huge difference in your career trajectory?
Yes, a couple. One is that opportunities don't come to you. You have to create them. I think that's one of the most important things, right? Because if
Yes.
you've been sitting at home watching Netflix and then hoping someone reaches out to you, it's a stretch. It's hard, right? Especially during this job market.
Yep.
But there are so many different things that you can do to stand out as a candidate, and especially if it's your dream job or your top job. What I
Yes.
say to myself is, I ask myself, did I do everything I could to get this job? Yes or no? Right. So that's number one. And then adding to that is one of the ways that I actually landed my job at Snapchat was I reached out to the recruiter. They didn't respond at first. I reached out again. They did respond. They sent me the application. They said, send me the email. I sent an email, no response. Send another email, no response. Last resort, I sent another email, and guess what? They then responded. So why I'm saying that is because just because you reach out to someone and they don't respond doesn't mean it's a no yet. Follow up. Some people get busy, and that's totally fine. The worst thing that can happen there is someone just says, sorry, I already filled the role. The best thing that can happen is they say, oh, sorry, I was just busy. I just got to your message. Here's the application. Here, I'd love to schedule an interview. I would say max times a refollow up is about three. You don't want to be too pushy. But again, I think many job seekers get discouraged. And from my conversations with a lot of my followers and clients, is that they get discouraged because the first response they get is a no. When in fact, at the end of the day, you only need one yes. And that's the most important. So that's my first piece of advice. And then the second piece of advice is, goes back to networking, building those connections and building those relationships before you need them.
Yes.
Because what happens a lot is, let's say that I see an open role at Google, right? I see an open role at Google, and then now I'm like, okay, now I go network with all these people at Google to get a recommendation or referral. But if I did that before, just building my network, just with so many different folks that I could reach out to regarding advice, opportunities, me helping them as well. Then, when an open role is there, I could say to myself, oh, I know this person who works there. I know this person. What advice could they give me? So, it's always important to continuously network with folks. And how you can do that is if you don't want to do it every day, you don't have to. Just send updates every holiday on the holidays in December and Thanksgiving. Very easy ways to just give them an update of what you've been up to, and then asking them, what have you been up to and how I can help? So I would say those two are my biggest career advice, my best career advice.
I think those are excellent. I mean, really, that first one around investing the time and the energy to do it right and persisting, right? Not being afraid to persist, because That always shows me something if I'm on the employer end of things, like, oh, this is a person who is going to be diligent and they're not going to give up. And some of the things that we have to do in our workplace, they're hard to do. And I want somebody that's going to be persistent and again, a kind and professional manner. And so you're teaching them a lot just about who you are with that diligence and investing that. And then, you know, the second piece there is like building your network all the time is gonna help you tenfold going forward. There is compounded interest that comes from doing that. And I agree with you. Trying to take it from living in a life of abundance rather than scarcity, and recognizing that you should be building your network with individuals even when they can't give something back to you. Sometimes it's hard to think about, well, yeah, I really want to be networked with that person and that person and that person because they could give something to me. But you asked that key question, which was, what could I give to you? How could I help you? And you're doing that since a completely different message about that level of relationship and networking that you want to do with them. You're there to serve them at the same time that, like, and you know, sometimes you do five or six or 10 things for somebody before you even have something that you need to ask of them. But by the time you're around to asking something of them, they want to be a part of that.
Want to be
And
helpful.
there's just, yeah, there's just helping others through a network, I think is so very important. And you really have spoken into, again, the importance of that network piece. Could you talk a little bit just about the importance of career literacy? We talk a lot of times about career literacy being having a vision for your future, knowing what it is that you do well and what you like to do. Those are the agilities, having robust job search skills so that you can go after those, and being able to scan and go after jobs that are maybe new, you've never heard of, going after jobs in sectors that are different than what you've ever worked in before. Can you talk a little bit about the importance of career literacy? I mean, you've bounced from one sector to another. You've done some of that. How has that worked for
Yes.
you?
Oh, it's everything. Career literacy is literally everything. It's important because you have to have career literacy to know your worth. I think that's what's really important. And to know when you're stuck and saying to yourself, okay, when should I move to a new role? Or when should I should be getting promoted. Why am I not? Right? When should I consider other jobs? Right? So for me, when I was on my job search, I didn't have as much career literacy. I just wanted to break into the tech industry and that's it. I was like, all right, let me just break in any role, whatever it is. Okay, let me just see. But after I was, but before, but after thinking to myself, I was like, I need to be very strategic. I need to know exactly what agility skills I have. I need to be transparent with myself and say, do I really enjoy this? Or am I just trying to work at this company just to work at it? So when I became actually strategic and I said to myself and very intentional about the roles that I was applying to, instead of applying to marketing, software engineering, operations, instead I focused directly on strategy and operations because that it was something that I was good at. So when I did that, and that's what I encourage everybody to do. Be very specific of what you want. And there's two different sides of it. There's one, 50% is the skills that you currently have. You could take obviously the agilities test and see what those different skills are. Then you match it to what gets you excited. Because again, you don't want to be in something that you're not excited about and then you're going to burn out, right? And then you translate that to when you're in your role. You should be getting promoted every 1 to 2 years, right? And you should be getting a salary increase every 1 to 2 years if you are hitting and making sure that you are exceeding or meeting expectations. You should be. And if you're not, then you should question and say to yourself, okay, well, is this a company I want to work for? Right. And so that's when I was thinking to myself, because people always ask me, well, Jonathan, why did you move in 8 months at Snapchat? Then you moved 2 years at Google, then you had 1 year at Cisco. Like, what happened? Well, for career progression, it actually helped me in terms of my compensation, because that's what something that would matter to me at the time, because I was providing for myself and my family.
Yes.
So I wanted that quick career progression in terms of the compensation. So I was able to increase my compensation by 2x, probably actually mostly every year, right? So again, it just depends on what your values are. And then those values will dictate what you want to do in your career. But it's all about being very strategic, being very intentional, and having those values so you know when to make a move to a new career versus staying in your own career.
Yes, definitely. I'll turn the table on you before we exit today. Is there any burning question that you have for me? I don't know if you have questions, even as we've been having this conversation, that have come up in your mind, or questions that our audience should ponder.
Yes, I have actually a really good question. I think this will help a lot of career changers and job seekers out there. You have hired for so many different roles, right?
I have.
So my question is what do you look for? Like, what is your, if you had a perfect candidate for a role that you were hiring for, what would you look for? Like, what are the most important things? Maybe like top three, for example.
Oh, that is a really good question. Okay, now I have to be prepped for that. I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is whether you're in a for-profit or a not-for-profit, there's a mission that you're trying to accomplish. And so I a lot of times look for the people who care more about the mission than they care about themselves and them getting ahead. And that's just maybe, I mean, that is something that I care about. And I think you can hear that as people talk through it. You mentioned authenticity and how important that is to be authentic to yourself. What do you like to do? What do you do well? But also authentic in the conversation. So we say around here at the DeBruce Foundation, truth works. And so I look for that authenticity too in the individual. And I want them to be able to talk to me about the challenges and the way that they've learned lessons from those challenges, because I think that is really, really important. And then the third space is I've always been in a position where we were trying to solve an issue or challenges. And I do think it takes being innovative and being agile and being willing to have the today answer and being comfortable with that, even when things are going to have to shift and to change, because the world continues to shift and change out there. So those are three of the things that I think I look for, regardless of the position. Obviously, you want to come in, and like you said, you should target into positions that you have 50% of the skills. But then be willing also to have a growth mindset, right? And that you will learn and grow and develop. And that's one of the things that we say too about career literacy, is that you're going to continue to find things that you like to do better than other things. You're going to continue to get better at doing things as you go throughout your career. So having that growth mindset and being willing to try and do those different things. So thanks for asking me that question. I love that I got to think about that today. And
Yes.
thank you so much for joining us and being with us. I think our audience will benefit in a variety of ways from the things that you have shared today, specifically the authenticity, the importance of it. I love this idea of being superhumans and what we get to do in this world of AI and this new context, and you giving us some specific strategies about how to think about that. We are going to be working alongside the technology, but it does give us the opportunities as humans to shine as humans, and to maybe lean even more into our agilities, what we like to do and what we do well, and just combining that with the work in AI as superhumans, as you say. And then thank you so much for the very specific tactics around those four tiers when we're thinking about going for jobs, and really what we can do to just give ourselves that edge, that, kick it up a notch, and what can we do to differentiate ourselves? Because I think you today have given us excellent examples of how to build one's career literacy, certainly at One Consulting. You guys are doing that every day. You're providing tools for people to increase their career literacy, and you're providing strategies and tools for them to also increase their network. And so I know that our audience is going to want to stay connected to everything that you all are doing at One Consulting. So would you remind everyone who's with us today just how to get to you and the tools that you all provide?
Of course, if you're ever interested in using our tools, just check out onesulting.ai. Or if you're interested in free resources such as a resume template, cover letter template, and more, just go to wansulting.com. And you can also find me on LinkedIn, Jonathan Javier, as well as Instagram, TikTok, Facebook as Jonathan Words of Wisdom.
Oh, thank you, Jonathan, for sharing all of those contexts. You're living into the importance of networking and sharing your social capital with others today. And thank you for also elevating and talking about how the tools at DeBruce.org and at our social channels can also be paired really well with all of the tools that you all have at Wansulting. It is just a pleasure to have had you with us. I know our audience has enjoyed it. And audience, we are proud of you for investing your time and your energy into yourself today by learning about ways to advance your career literacy and your network strength. Together, we can develop empowered careers. It will be our pleasure to do that. So check out those resources. Let us know how it's going. Both Jonathan and I want to be connected with you on LinkedIn. Let us know how it's going. We hope those of you who are following us will continue to follow us on DeBruce.org or on our social channels. Together, we can build empowered careers. And just as Jonathan has reminded us today, there are very specific tactics and strategies that we can do to build our career literacy and our network strength. We look forward to seeing you next time. Let's give Jonathan a round of applause for being with us. Thanks again, Jonathan.
Thank you for being the best host. This was awesome. I appreciate it. And I'm always a big supporter of the Bruce Foundation and you, Leanne. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. We'll see you next time.